Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to KKIM, the oldest Christian radio station in New Mexico. We are continuing on. This is the 48th show, but we're continuing on in the Sons of God. And we read some scriptures in the Old Testament, some scriptures when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. So we know that sons of God are people that they can bring forth with men, the daughters of men, and they can have wives. So they have to be the same species, because God says, let them bring forth after their own species, after their own kind. You cannot cross a dog and a cat. That just does not work. Let's see. Also in Hosea, it says, in a place where they are not my people, they will be called the sons of the living God. And so people are sons of God. Now, I made a statement before. I want to restate that on this tape because not everyone has heard the other podcasts, but please go to our site, gilbertandfriends.com. On the podcasts, you should be able to download all the previous shows and you can catch up on these in case you've missed one. But I wanted to bring up one statement, and that is the fact that all sons of God are people, but not all people are sons of God. So what I'm actually saying there, this is something we found in the scripture. So this is actually what God states. I'm just coming to a conclusion here. All people are not sons of God. All sons of God are people, you see. And so there's a requirement that people need to meet to become a son of God. So all people are not sons of God. All sons of God are people. But there is a catch, or there is a stipulation to be a son of God. Now, there was a man of God years ago that made a statement, and he actually did a teaching on this and used all scriptures, and it was very interesting. But he made a statement that God does not have any grandchildren. And he was exactly right in that. God only has children. He only has sons, ouias. And he has no grandchildren. And I know grandchildren are wonderful. I've got 7 of them. Oh, boy, are they great. And my kids are great, too. But you get to the point of grandchildren, and it's just like icing on the cake. Your kids are the cake, and grandchildren are the icing, and the cake is good too, let me tell you. Anyway, it says in John, the Gospel of John, verses 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the exousia power, or the right, the authority to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is not because of bloodlines you become a son of God. It's my children are not automatically sons of God. And a son of God is an overall catch-all statement. So don't get offended here, you women. Women are also sons of God, you see. In a couple of places, he called them his daughters. But if you go, I think it's in Galatians chapter 3, there's neither male nor female. So we're talking male and female alike being sons of God. And God makes no distinction between man and a woman. There are a few offices in the Bible where it is only men. I've never seen any female apostles or prophets, but there were some daughters of Philip who did prophesy, but I've never seen any apostle. And where God has said in the church, I believe both apostle and prophet are the masculine gender. But we'll leave it at that. There, I've never seen a woman who is an apostle. But other than a few places in the scripture where it has to do with authority, there is absolutely no distinction between a man and a woman being a son of God. One place it does say a woman is not to usurp authority over the man. And the man is the head in the family. He is the head like Christ is the head of the church. Now it goes on. This is a caveat in that one too. Sure, the man is the head, but then he has to die for his wife. And women want to see that with you husbands. They want to see you die for them. And if a man is commanded to love his wife, a woman is not commanded to love her husband. And they do it by nature. But the man, for some reason, has to be commanded to love his wife. Boy, I got off on that one, didn't I? That's dangerous territory. But with sons of God, there is no distinction between, it says that in Galatians 3, between Jew or Greek, male or female, bond or free, we are all one in Jesus Christ, you see. So this is talking men and women alike. So to as many as received him, to them he gave the right or exousia authority to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood. It's not because your parents were a believer. You must make that decision on your own. And there are scriptures in the Old Testament that show the parent is not responsible for the sins of the child, and the child is not responsible for the sins of the parent. Each one is held accountable for his own sins. And salvation, likewise. You're not born of blood because mom and dad or the will of the flesh. They cannot will you into God's kingdom. They just cannot wish you in. You must be born from above. Let's see what the next thing is here. Nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Your flesh can't desire you in. Another man can't desire you in. Everyone must on his own receive. Baby baptism does not work, you see. And that was the big split between the church. This is where some of the people came out of the Catholic Church, because they did not believe in baby baptisms. They were not able to change their minds. As a matter of fact, they're pure anyway, and they go back to God. If a baby dies, it shows us in the Old Testament. If you want to hear more on this, I can actually prove this out. Until the age of accountability, when a person is still a babe, when they die, they go back home to God, and they are pure until they know sin. And there's a very good scripture on that one, but I'm not going to go into that. Maybe you'll just have to give me a call for that one, but I can prove. So then if you want to see your children on that day when the Lord comes, you need salvation, my friend. If there has been a miscarriage and so on, every baby God knows. And while they're in the womb, God is forming them, and they belong to God. Can you imagine that hope? Now, men, we sit and try to reason all these things out, but the answers are all very clearly in the scriptures. If one of my children had a miscarriage, and we were talking about it one day, knowing the scriptures, and we both had wondered, I wonder what they're going to look like when we see them on that day, that they will be perfected, and you'll get to meet your children, all of them. Now, if they come to the age of accountability, they need salvation like you do, my friend. So anyway, God takes care of the children, but when you become of age, you need to seek God, ask for him, and knock. And here's the first step in becoming a son of God. You must receive him, lambano. Receive him into your heart. Accept him. Accept him. He is Lord and he is Savior. I'm going to quote Acts 2:37 or 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord, and that's the Greek word kurion, which means master, and Savior. Now, master means he's the pilot. When I talked about this before, get in the back of the plane. Oh, but you get to fly first class. He's going to pilot the plane, and he is Lord, but he knows how to get there. You don't even know where you're going, so why do you want to be the pilot and him be the co-pilot? Just get back and enjoy the ride. God is master, and we are the servants. But then he doesn't just treat us as servants. This is an amazing thing. Even though I consider myself a servant to God, he says, if you treat your servants kindly, in the end, you will have gained a son. And there were some masters in the South, and I would say maybe just a few, but this is an actual fact. The slaves, they treated them just like their own family, and they set them free themselves. And they treated them like one of their own, and they became like their children because they were not racially prejudiced, you see. And many were, and that's a sad thing to see. Anyway, it says in the end, even though he is a servant, you will gain a son. And that's God's attitude, that even though we are servants, he calls us his sons. And he says, I no longer consider you a servant or a slave, but I have called you my sons. That is just beyond my thinking. And he calls us his friends. And how many times we wish, mom and dad, treat me a little bit. You know, don't always treat me like a little child. This is what kids say to their parents, you see. And Jesus treats us like friends. And I know that there is a time when we're under tutors and governors in the Lord and also growing up. But, you know, if you have a good relationship with your parents, they become your friends. I'm thinking of our daughters, that they become just like an equal, like a friend. And that is a fun thing. And they even find little spots of food on your face now. And if they see something in the scriptures that they can see it better than you, you got to change because they're your friend, you see. Well, that's one of the things about being a son of God. We're going to read the next one. And this one is in Romans 8:14. And it says, I'm going to start in 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. If you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And death means separation from God, you see. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we also suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I want to make a statement now. I've made this before. Son of God is found some 59 times in the Bible, 6 times in the Old Testament also. We've read every place Son of God is found in the Old Testament. Now, many times in the New Testament, it's talking about Jesus himself, the Son of God, in the singular, the first fruit of those that slept. Jesus is the first fruit. He is the best. He is God. He's the ultimate, and he is our Savior. In him is no imperfection whatsoever. He is holy as God is holy. Not one single flaw in Jesus Christ. He does not make mistakes. God does not make mistakes. A mistake is missing the bullseye. Mankind makes mistakes, you see. And it is impossible for Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit even to make a mistake. It is impossible. And you must believe that, my dear friend. Anyway, when it says that we are joint heirs with Christ, there are many of those scriptures. If I'm a joint heir with the Son of God, a lot of those scriptures are talking about me. So I'm going to boldly say that sons of God or God's Son is found 59 times in the Bible, and they all pertain to me. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, Christian is only found 3 times in the Bible. Christ is, the root word means to be anointed. Now, would you rather be called a Christian? And in the today's terms, it means a person that's got a fish on his car and sometimes breaks the speed law, loses his cool a lot, is sometimes erratic in his thinking, and sometimes serve God, and sometimes he's cussing up a storm. And they call themselves Christians. Now, there are some that are very dear and sincere people that call themselves Christians. I've got some relatives that are that way, and they don't cuss, and they don't do those things. And they're kind of rare as to some of the more emotional types that you see really serving God on Sunday in the church and then misbehaving throughout the week, like I used to be. I'm talking about myself, my friend, and a lot of other people that I've known because I knew them. I've been in the world. You can't fool people in the world. They're going to see you how you act. But anyway, a son of God is a person who is led by the Spirit. And that means they don't break laws. They don't cuss. And if they slip once in a blue moon, and so on, they do have forgiveness. But you will see 1 year, a son of God, you will see their life as a babe, so they'll make more mistakes. But then maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road, they'll keep changing. You won't believe the change in that person because they're a son of God. And in 10 years, wow, that person is really changing. I've seen people like this, that people, they see them the next day and they go, what happened to you? And that person has never given one testimony. He has just changed. And the change began in the heart because he received the Holy Spirit in his heart, you see. So all who are being led, and it's in the present, it's continual, being led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, for I consider, I was going to make a statement. I got sidetracked. I am sorry. I was going to make a statement. Christians is only found 3, maybe 4, but I think only 3 times in the Bible. Sons of God or son of God, including Jesus. But since I'm an heir, a joint heir with Jesus, I will put those scriptures to mean me too. Not that I am Jesus, but I'm one of the family, you see, and that's found 59 times. Now, I'll ask people as I go along teaching, I would say, what would you rather be? Would you rather be known as a Christian or God's son? And they invariably tell me, I want to be known as a son of God. We read 12 through 17 of Romans 8. I'm going to read 18 on for a little bit here. The context is to 25, but I'll stop when I think we've read enough here. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. People want to see what we are really going to be like. There are great indications in scriptures that earth is not going to, once we are resurrected, well, actually it begins at the resurrection, because we're going to fly away to be with Jesus and then fly back down to earth and to rule and reign with him 1,000 years. And I'll give you one scripture. I found at least seven on flying. They that wait on the Lord, this is in Isaiah 40, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. So creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, one last place, maybe I'll have time to read this. And this is in Romans 8 again, 18, I'll read the context. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of the body. In other words, when that is complete at the resurrection. Our spirit was saved when we were baptized. We are now being saved by the blood. We were baptized into Jesus' death. His death saved us. We are now being saved in his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, the soul. Our soul is being saved, and our body or our flesh will be redeemed at the anastasis, the resurrection, the standing up. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. And what we're waiting for, the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And so we're waiting for that time. We're going to read now Romans 8, 29, and close with this. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he called. Those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And beginning at that scripture, I just read Romans 8, 29 and 30, and we'll begin with that scripture the next time we meet again. And we'll continue on in this subject. We have more scriptures to read about being a son of God. And when we get together again, we'll continue on that. May God lead you into all truth, and may God's truth set you free.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us toll-free at 866-754-6527. That's 866-754-6527. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.